upset that I ran away and slept with a man. But there was only one reason I could ascertain. He thought he was going to marry me. It was hard to imagine Papa would agree to it, considering Oscar wasn't even Italian. But why else would I have to sit next to him at dinner when I never had to before? "You are unhappy." My gaze coasted from the scratches in the wooden table to Nonna's brown eyes. I shook my head. "No, I'm not. I would never let a man like Oscar Perez steal my happiness." "You are not a good liar, cara mia." I didn't respond, uncertain of what to say. "The littlest problems seem so great to those who are young," she lamented. "I used to worry like you, you know. Do you know what it's got me?" "Not a thing. Do not waste your time on things you cannot change." She stood up, bracing a hand on the table. "I'm going to bed. Good night, Nonna." She stopped, turning to me. "Do you know what you need to do when you are unhappy?" I didn't want to argue with her that I was not unhappy, so I raised a brow. "What?" "Something exciting." "Like?" "I don't know. Maybe smoking cigarettes with handsome young men." "Ugh." A smile pulled on my lips. Only she would think of Nicolas as a young man. "Good night, tesoro." Nonna winked. The candle's flame danced, a bleak reminder of false smiles in the orange mesmerizing light. Sheer curtains blew in the light summer breeze, and a lamp cast a soft glow against the wall of shelved books. Frank Sinatra leaked under the library door so quietly, it could be a distant memory of a similar night half a century ago. I sat with my legs folded against my side in a seat by the fireplace, a book lying on the arm. I hadn't read more than 2 pages before I'd given up, rested my head against the chair, and stared at the candle filling the room with the smell of lavender. My heels lay forgotten on the floor, the white bows unraveled across the red oriental rug. I'd escaped the kitchen as soon as I could. My mama's talk about the wedding an annoying noise that became louder and louder until I needed silence. It wasn't even about Oscar Perez anymore. It was about words unsaid and a future uncertain. Like the hard shell of a coconut, the sweet Abelli shielded the real me from the world. It couldn't be cracked without strong tools. Lowering that barrier bared a part of me not many had seen. A me that felt, a vulnerable me. I wasn't sure why I let Nicolas Russo see that side. Maybe it was because his indifference made me believe he didn't want to crack me. My eyes shot up when the click of the library door hit my ears, and as if my thoughts had conjured him, Nicolas stepped in. When his gaze came up from the floor and he noticed me, he stopped short. For a second, I thought he was going to turn and leave without a word just because I was here. His stare was an indifferent, condescending one. Like he'd come into his library to find a servant in his chair. The man really wanted nothing to do with me. Well, I didn't like him either. Truthfully, it was mostly because he didn't like me. His gaze narrowed.
"Why aren't you at the party?"
"Why aren't you?" I countered. He ran a hand down his tie, watching me in a calculated way, like he was weighing the pros and cons of my presence. It didn't look like there were many pros. Making up his mind, he shut the door and headed to the mini bar, never answering my question. He poured a drink, and I tried to pretend he wasn't here, that his presence hadn't filled the room, making my mind now useless. Nonetheless, I found myself watching him, every smooth move as he filled a glass tumbler with whiskey. My skin lit like a live wire. The fabric of my dress felt heavy,
and the breeze from the open window brushed my shoulders. As he walked past, I pretended to be engrossed in the little black sentences before me. But in reality, I didn't take in one word of John F. Kennedy's assassination, history, facts. They made me feel better in a time of doubt, because someday I would be nothing but a memory, just like them. He sat in a gray armchair by the window and pulled out his phone. He leaned forward, his elbows resting on his knees. He'd unbuttoned his jacket, showing his black vest that hugged his flat stomach. His tie hung askew from pulling on it, and the visual suddenly made me wonder, what does he look like in the morning, all disheveled? I swallowed. He might be able to pull off his suit like a gentleman, but once again, the red, busted knuckles of the hand holding his phone told me his appearance was just a facade. Light scruff covered his jaw, and his hair was as dark as his suit, the top thick and messy. He was intimidating, with a heavy presence and a glare that burned. But when he wore a soft, somber expression, like now, he didn't even have to look at me to make me burn. He glanced over and caught my gaze. You've got to work on that staring. My pulse fluttered in my throat and warmth rushed to my face. His eyes fell to my cheeks. And then he did something I never expected. Maybe it was from disbelief, or maybe he thought I was ridiculous. I didn't know, and I didn't care. He laughed. Softly, darkly. The kind of laugh that has no good intentions. The kind of laugh the walls don't forget. Warmth curled low in my stomach and I couldn't help it. I stared even more. He had white teeth and sharp incisors, just like the villain he was. When he glanced at me sideways, with dark mirth in his gaze, a flame pulsed between my legs. Jesus, he said under his breath, running a hand through his hair. I leaned my head against the chair, my teeth tugging on my bottom lip. He glanced at me one more time as his laugh faded, his amusement disappearing into a tense atmosphere that sparked. A warm breath of air breezed through the window and I shivered. I didn't know how long we sat in the same room, in silence, not far apart. Time wasn't a factor. The moment was recorded each time he shifted, looked up from his phone, took a drink, glanced my way when I'd flip a page or brush my hair off my shoulders. I thought I was doing well, that I was turning pages at an equivalent of what someone would if they were reading them. But I was thrown off when his gaze pulled up from his phone and rested on my face. It settled there for a moment, before running down my bare neck and shoulders. My breathing stilled when it trailed over the curves of my breast and down my stomach. And I flushed when it went lower to my thighs, tracing my legs until it reached my pink-painted toenails, peeking out of my dress. He was doing this staring now, but I didn't have the courage to call him out on it. I'd been stared at enough times I'd gotten good at ignoring it. But not once had it ever made me feel like this. Overheated, itchy, breathless. Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You seeped under the door, and I could hear Benito belting out the words. He was the first to start karaoke, and ironically, it was always iconic love songs. My cousin wouldn't sleep with the same girl twice unless she had double D's, his words, not mine. When he mangled his next line, a soft laugh escaped me. I let myself glance at Nicholas, expecting some amusement. But my laughter faded when I found him already looking at me. The darkness in his eyes shaded his sober expression. The music and voices outside the door became indiscernible noise as blood drummed in my ears. He got up, set his unfinished glass of whiskey on a side table, and headed to leave. He stopped by my side. The ability to breathe ceased to exist when his thumb ran down my cheek, as light as satin and as rough as his voice. He gripped my chin and turned my face toward his. We looked at each other for seconds that felt like minutes. Don't follow men into dark corners. A spark flickered to life in his eyes. It softened when his thumb skimmed the edge of my bottom lip. Next time, you might not get out alive. With the warning hanging in the air, his hand slipped from my face and he left the room without another word. I rested my head against the armchair and breathed normally for the first time since he'd walked through the door. I didn't know what that was. Why it felt like I had a continual live wire under my skin in his presence. But I didn't want to analyze it. I knew it wasn't a good thing. Anything that stops your breath can't be good for you. My gaze fell to his drink on the table. I was out of my mind. I was burning. I closed the book and got up from my chair. Walking around the side table, I twirled the tumbler on the lacquered wood between loose fingers. The remaining liquid sat on the bottom, golden and forgotten. I never did like whiskey, but I brought it to my lips, and I drank it anyway. Chapter 11. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. Emily Dickinson. Elena. The whiskey was a memory of warmth in my stomach as I sat on my hunches before my sister's TV stand. Fright Night, Evil Dead, or Night of the Living Dead. I placed the movies on my lap and waited for a response. Adriana's muffled words sounded from the bed. 16 candles. My eyes widened. 16 candles? Mm-hmm. This was bad. Very bad. You're absolutely sure? A sigh. Yes, Elena. Okay. Let me go get it. I eyed my sister like she'd grown two more heads as I headed out of the room. However, she only looked drunk and tired, covered by a Star Wars blanket. I returned from my room a moment later, popped the DVD in, and climbed into bed next to her. Stealing half the blanket, I pulled it over the dress I didn't have the energy to change. Soft light flashed from the TV in the dark room as we watched the movie in silence. Elena? Her voice was quiet. Yeah? What do you think of Nico? I hesitated. I'm not sure, I finally responded. I talked to him a bit tonight.
You did?
Yeah. It wasn't so bad. He's a little rude, but I don't hate him. I focused on the movie because I didn't know what to say. I was glad for my sister that she found something to talk about with him. But my chest tightened in a strange way. Elena, she said softly, grabbing something off the nightstand.
Yeah?
She handed her cell phone to me without looking. Please send it. I can't. I took the phone and read the text already typed out to Samantha. Well, that was the code name for Ryan. A simple goodbye was all it said. My throat constricted, but I pushed the little button that could change lives and break hearts with nothing but an electronic word. I did it for Ryan's sake and wished I could go back and do the same for another's. Done, I whispered. We lay side by side and watched a girl fall in love. One of us already had, and the other knew she never would. I sat at the kitchen table, legs crisscrossed on the chair, watching a raindrop make its way down the window pane. No, no, no! Mama tossed the wooden spoon on the island, having just tasted the red sauce Adriana had prepared. Mama's sweatsuit was purple today, and her hair was half up like it always was. Now you've gone and killed him. Adriana sighed, her expression tightening with frustration. How have I killed him again already?
That sauce is so bitter he would keel over.
Amusement filled me. The last pot of sauce, Adriana had taken too long and poor Nicolas died of starvation. Mamma shook her head.
Incredibile.
I don't know how you went on this long not knowing how to cook una semplice salsa di spaghetti.
I should pull you from those classes you take and make you spend the time in the kitchen. Adriana leaned against the counter. A white apron covered her Hamlet t-shirt that was longer than her shorts, and a yellow bandana kept her hair back from her face.
Elena isn't a good cook either, I frowned.
Elena is not getting married in 2 weeks. The soft patter of rain hitting the windows filled the room, a quiet discomfort replacing any words. The need to ease the tension rushed over me. It was what I was good for, after all.
I doubt she will kill the man, Mama. If he can survive being shot a number of times like I'm sure he has, then he should outlive Adriana's cooking.
3 times. Adriana piped up. My brows knitted.
What?
He's been shot 3 times.
Mamma mia, Mamma scolded. Do not talk of such things.
A certain interest ran over me, and ignoring Mamma, I asked, how do you know that? My sister's sparkling gaze came my way.
I asked him last night.
You what? Adriana! I sat forward in my chair. And he told you?
Well, not exactly. I asked him, and he only looked down on me like I was annoying him. But then Gianna, who was overhearing the conversation, told me 3 times.
Do you have a brain in your head? Why would you ask him something like that?
Neither of us looked in Mama's direction. A smile pulled on our lips. We were now playing a popular game to see who could shock Mamma enough that she'd storm from the room, berating us in Italian. It usually began with ignoring her a few times.
Is Gianna his sister? I asked, though I was 99% sure he was an only child.
She could have been a cousin, but somehow I knew she wasn't.
Adriana laughed. No, stepmother. My jaw dropped. She's younger than him.
A year, Adriana confirmed.
My God. Can you imagine sleeping with a man more than twice your age?
Elena!
Adriana's gaze widened.
You think she had sex with his papa?
Stop with this talk! I pursed my lips.
Well, they were married. They at least had missionary.
Basta! Mamma headed for the door, tossed her apron on the counter, and spewed Italian about her heathen daughters the whole way. Our laughter filled the kitchen.
I can't believe she's his stepmother, I said, before adding, or was.
I know. Adriana stuck her finger in the sauce and tasted it, grimacing.
But I don't think they have a mother-son relationship.
No, I said. More like the other way around. Adriana shook her head.
No, not like that either.
What do you mean?
I would bet my entire costume collection they've slept together.
My eyes widened.
Really?
Yep, she said, wiping the island down. My sister was usually quiet, blending into the background at parties and events, but that only made her skilled at reading people. When she took the time or cared about doing it anyway. She was probably right.
How very blasphemous.
Though I wouldn't have expected much else from the boss. I hopped off my chair, headed to the pot on the stove, and tasted a little from the wooden spoon. Bitterness exploded in my mouth.
Wow, that's,
Adriana laughed while struggling to reach a cup on the top shelf. She hopped and growled when she still couldn't get it. She turned around, giving up, her gaze narrowed.
Benito and Dominic are downstairs, I told her. They're probably hungry.
Why would I care? She paused. Understanding filled her eyes, and then she pushed off the counter.
I'll go tell them lunch is ready.
Red and orange streetlights blurred beyond the drips of rain running down the glass. The sky was dark, pretending to be night when it was only 6 o'clock on a summer's day. Benito's phone flashed and buzzed in the console again. Ironically enough, Benito reminded me of Manny Ribera from Scarface, in looks and personality. I could count on him flirting with at least one woman everywhere we went, like clockwork.
Read it, Elena.
No, I protested. The last time I did that, I saw something I didn't want to see.
Then don't bitch at me for checking it.
Ugh. I reached forward and read it. From Blonde Angela. I didn't blink twice to see that he had to mark his female contacts by more than their names. Probably because there were simply too many. He wouldn't want to mix them up. I don't want to see you anymore, I read blandly, and set the phone back in the console before a goodbye picture could be received. His brows furrowed with one hand on the wheel. He wore black pants and a white dress shirt, no tie. It was a casual day for him. There was a high possibility he took longer than me to get ready in the mornings. Mama and Papa had a dinner planned with one of my father's connections, and I told Nonna not to worry about coming because of the rain falling like it never had before. So it was just Benito and me, and he would only drop me off like he usually did, before driving to whatever girl's house in the meantime. Not Angela's now, though. My cousin sighed and ran a hand through his dark, gelled back hair.
As a woman, Elena, how would you interpret that text?
I paused. Well, I think it means she doesn't want to see you anymore.
And that includes sex?
Yep. He frowned.
Damn it.
Double D's?
Yeah,
he said sadly. I copied his tone.
Shame.
He pulled up to the curb outside the theater, reached across me, and pushed the door open.
Go kill it, cuz. Be back at 9.
Thanks. I hopped out of the car and grabbed my duffel bag from the back seat.
Elena!
Benito's expression was serious as he leaned over and stretched his arm across the passenger seat headrest.
You think her text applies to oral, too?
I rolled my eyes.
God, you're disgusting.
He grinned.
Break a leg.
With my bag over my shoulder, I headed inside and said hello to a few other dancers on the way. It wasn't a large theater, but it was upscale, like my papa would ever allow me to dance in a hole in the wall. Sparkling lights, cream walls, and golden red accents. It was a beautiful auditorium. I loved the flash of it all. The makeup, the dress, the friendships I'd gained, as shallow as they were. But for me, dance was merely a great form of exercise. The small amount of passion I'd once held for it was fading away, and I wasn't sure how long I'd continue with it. A brush of air rushed over me, followed by a deep voice.
Say you'll go out with me.
Without looking at the man matching my steps, I shook my head, a smile pulling on my lips. No.
Sushi.
I wrinkled my nose.
Okay, no sushi. Italian?
Ha ha, I laughed.
Are you coming tomorrow?
Tyler was lean, like most dancers were, with dirty blonde hair and a crooked smile. He was cute, polite, but not my type. He was a friend who wanted more, and for his sake, I'd never let anything happen. I'd learned my lesson. Sometimes I wondered how he would react if I told him the truth about my family. I doubted he'd still ask me out every time he saw me. Anyone could put together who my papa was if they merely Googled his name. My classmates at the all-girls school I'd attended had found out early on, and I'd practically been a pariah. Adriana had made lots of friends in her drama circle, but I never found the same. Yeah, I'm coming, I said. I'm bringing my cousin, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that Benito. Your family-aware women don't need a chaperone anymore?
I smiled. They're aware. They just don't care. Chatter grew louder as we reached backstage where 10 or so other dancers congregated.
Last offer, he said firmly. Cheeseburgers. Bring Benito with you. We'll make it a threesome.
I laughed. I don't think he's into guys. It was his turn for a ha-ha as we parted ways. Chapter 12. Every Savage Can Dance. Jane Austen. Elena. I leaned against the alley door, the metal hard and cold against my back. Mist fell, mixing with the sweat dripping down my bare midsection. Tire noise, sirens, and an occasional laugh from a close bar filtered into the alleyway. You've got the right idea. Sierra stepped outside and pulled her blonde hair off her sweaty face and into a bun. The red curtain had opened and then closed, some laterals, spirals, and stag leaps in between, and the recital was a success. The dance was based on a man who died for love, a modern Romeo and Juliet tale. I played death. The performance was slow and dramatic, but it had a beautiful, haunting tone. Why must everything have a happily ever after? Aren't the most memorable, poignant moments of history tragic? I had always appreciated sad endings. I was a realist, not a romantic. I talked to Sierra for a little while about her 2-year-old son and being a single mom, and then decided Benito was probably growing tired of waiting for me. I'll see you later, Sierra. Tomorrow at the party, if you're coming. Yes, I'm coming. My mom's watching Nathan. Please tell me your hot cousin is coming. I groaned with a playful roll of my eyes. He'll be there. Great. See you then. She winked. I threw on an off-the-shoulder top and grabbed my bag before heading to the front. I'd just made it out the stage doors when an arm draped around my shoulder. I know I said last offer, but I forgot I haven't suggested Chinese yet. I shook my head with a smile, but truthfully, there wasn't a chance I was walking all the way to the car with Tyler's arm around me. I loved Benito, but I could never forget he worked for my papa. It was his own father, my uncle Manuel, who was responsible for the death that haunted me. Benito had done nothing but watch, and I held no belief he wouldn't let it happen again. Just as we reached the front hall and I was about to slide Tyler's arm off my shoulders, my heart stilled, and so did my feet. Nicholas stood near the doors, leaning against the wall with his hands in his pockets. With his black suit lit by sparkling lighting, he could pass as a handsome gentleman. One only needed to glance up and see the dark look in his eyes to know it was only smoke. What worried me the most was that his stare, edged with venom, was aimed at Tyler. My stomach twisted and I shrugged Tyler's arm off. He seemed to notice Nicholas's presence at that moment. Family? He asked hesitantly. Yeah. It was sort of true, I guessed. I wasn't going to explain all the details with Nicholas's burning gaze in this direction. He must believe that, since he was marrying into my family, it was now his obligation to deal with any men who came my way. Frustration crept up my back. I had plenty of male cousins and uncles and a temperamental brother. The last thing I needed was another man butting into my life. I imagined everything Nicholas did, he did it with his all, because not even Benito would wear that expression over a man having his arm around me. So I'm guessing Chinese is a no. Just go, Tyler. All right. He took a step back, probably put off by my tone. I'll see you tomorrow then, Elena. The worry tightening in my chest released when he left, still alive. I swore all the men in my life were psychotic. It was at moments like this when I hated it. I'd only wanted out at one point in the past, when it felt like I was nothing but a beautiful girl trapped in a world of forced smiles, with a grim future in the distance. The parties, the dancing, the fake laughs, it all exploded, until I stood alone for the first time in a city I'd never truly experienced. It didn't take long to realize I didn't belong, that I was already stained by the world I was raised in, that a man with a clean conscience and clean hands would never fit me just right. I'd destroyed a decent man's life. And while he'd touched me in places I'd never been touched before, I'd wished he did it a little rougher. I'd wished he was tainted by the darkness, as the men I was used to were. Everyone knew you didn't fall in love with a man in my world, like the one who stood before me now. Not unless you wanted your heart shattered into 1,000 tiny pieces. No. I'd never fall in love. Truly, I'd never expected to. You didn't mourn something you'd always known you couldn't have. At least this man wasn't mine. He was too distracting, too fascinating. I'd never make it out alive. I adjusted the strap on my shoulder and walked toward him, my heart beating to every step I took. I stopped a few feet from him. With that look in his eyes, I wouldn't put myself in this man's reach for anything.
Your papa know you're kissing men on stage?
I faltered, my clammy hand tightening on my bag. Nicholas must have been here long enough to catch the end of the show. Where in the world was Benito? This man was going to kill me by the look of it. My feet shifted. I didn't kiss anyone. Technically, it was a lie, but I was going to talk myself out of this, because after Nicholas had overheard Tyler ask me out, and the fact that it was Tyler who I'd kissed, well, this might seem worse than it was. To the men in my family's ears, it would sound like I'd gotten naked with a man. I told you, psychotic. Apparently, Russo men were the same. Nicholas pushed off the wall and walked within a foot of me.
Yeah? Why don't you explain what it was you were doing, then?
My cheeks grew hot. I was death. I was sucking his life away. Maybe that was the wrong way to explain it, because his expression grew even darker. I thought sucking might have done it. Ugh. His stare crept under my skin, flustering me. It was completely platonic, I said. His gaze sparked.
You put your lips on another man's and suck, it's never platonic.
He made it sound so dirty when it really had been a dry, unmoving kiss. Anger simmered in my veins. Who was he to tell me who I could kiss? Mr. I'll sleep with my stepmom and other men's girlfriends. Frustration rose in my throat, mangling any possible comeback, so I only brushed past him. He grabbed my duffel bag off my shoulder as I passed. His gaze was still heated, but he followed me out the doors. The mist fell steady, and I blinked it off my eyelashes as I searched for his car. It sat at the curb, all black and shiny. I wasn't getting in it. I'd wait for Benito. I stood on the sidewalk while Nicholas tossed my bag in the back seat. He shut the door and turned to look at me.
You gonna stand there all night or get in the car?
Where's Benito? He opened the passenger side door.
He's got some business with your papa.
From past experience, that meant something bad was happening in New York tonight. I was surprised papa had sent Nicholas to chauffeur me, considering his lack of trust with me and men. But I was also a little uneasy he felt he needed Nicholas to take me home. I'd always felt safe, and it was probably nothing. But if there was a reason Papa needed to worry about my safety, I was glad he'd sent Nicholas. The man had a million enemies, and he had stayed alive this long. Though the idea of being locked in a car with him made my stomach flutter with nerves. I imagined I'd feel similarly right before jumping out of a plane. I didn't know why he created such visceral reactions in me, but when he said, "Car. Now, Elena." I'd never disliked anything more. I wanted to make him say, "Please." But as my gaze coasted to his, the dark storm that looked back at me changed my mind real quick. I walked past him and got in his stupid car. My frustration mixed with turmoil. What would he do with the information about Tyler? I didn't think Papa would care so much about a stage kiss. But with his arm around me, asking me out, my stomach turned. That could sound bad. I was resenting Nicolas Russo so much right now that I tried to ignore the warm, masculine scent filling the car. Sandalwood, clean skin, and a certain danger that made my pulse drift between my legs. I tried to ignore the way it invaded my senses and made the corners of my mind fuzzy. It hit me like a shot of liquor, and I distracted myself with buckling my seatbelt. When he sat in the driver's seat and shut the door, the car felt infinitely smaller. Quiet enough, I could hear my heartbeat, and warm enough, the heater had to be on. Was it his body putting out that much heat? Mist hit the windshield, running down the glass and blurring the outside world. I was alone with him in such a small space. The fact resounded in my mind, playing havoc on my nervous system. Without a word to me, Nicolas typed out a text, probably to my papa. I could only imagine it read something like, "Package picked up safely." My fingernails dug into my palms. How did I even address him? I'd never found it so difficult to speak with someone before, but all rational thoughts flew away when he was near. "Nicolas," I hesitated. "Maybe we started off on the wrong foot, at church last weekend. I didn't mean to glare at you, truly." His gaze flicked to me. A hint of amusement played in it, though it wasn't normal amusement. This man did everything a little dark. My cheeks warmed. "And I wanted to say I apologize. I was uncertain about the marriage in the beginning, but now I think you and Adriana will be good together." I forced my sweetest smile. It didn't get me the reaction I wanted. He let out a sardonic breath and tossed his phone in the center console. "Glad to hear it, but I'm still telling your papa about your romance with the dancer." My smile and stomach fell. He put the key in the ignition and started the car. A metal song played quietly on the radio. I couldn't help but notice it was the same station Adriana listened to sometimes. "Wait," I rushed out, putting one hand on the gear shift as if I could stop him. He glanced at it and then back at me, his gaze conveying he would remove it if I didn't. "I'm telling you, there is nothing going on with Tyler. It wasn't even a kiss. I was merely taking his life away. It was completely platonic." He didn't say anything, but his stillness made me believe he was wavering. I swallowed. "Nicolas, please." His eyes sparked. "What's my name?" I paused, opened my mouth, but then closed it. I didn't want to say it. Nicolas Russo had a reputation. Nicolas Russo was a stranger. Nicolas was distant. I didn't want to call him Nico. It would flow too easily off my lips, sound too good on my tongue. We sat in tense silence for a moment before he gave his head a shake. "Usually when someone wants something, they appease the one they're trying to persuade. A basis of negotiating." He told me this like I was stupid, and I flushed in irritation. "There's no negotiating with a cheat." The words were out of my mouth before I could stop them. He ran a hand across his face, wiping off a hint of amusement. "Touché." Glancing at me sideways, he gave me an appraisal, maybe impressed I had the guts to say what I did. Licking his lips, his deep, serious voice rushed over me. "So prove it to me." My brows knitted. "Prove what?" "That it was platonic." "How am I supposed to?" My stomach erupted with butterflies when it dawned on me. The shock of what he wanted me to do settled in the space like an elephant in the room. "You're serious?"
"Deadly."
It was at that moment that his reputation became clear to me. His cousin's death hadn't done it. The articles of his pursuits hadn't done it. But his cool, indifferent expression as he laid this trap for me did. He was waiting for me to say it would be inappropriate. Then my "it was platonic" excuse would crash and burn before my eyes. I didn't know why he cared so much about Tyler, but I was betting he'd gain a little male satisfaction from keeping his future sister-in-law away from non-Italian men. Benito always stayed in the damn car. Why couldn't he have picked me up today? I wasn't going to fall into his trap. That meant I could only call Nicolas Russo's bluff. Okay. My calm response filled the small space, like even the air hadn't expected it. The tiniest flicker passed through Nicolas's gaze. He scraped his teeth across his bottom lip, maybe in surprise I hadn't walked into the hole he dug for me. The action only made me stare at his mouth. Warmth filled my stomach.
Okay,
he finally responded, his eyes darkening around the edges. What? He thought I was bluffing. I wasn't bluffing. He was supposed to be. Nicolas was playing with me. He wanted to see me squirm. I could see that leaking through his cool expression. It sent the burn of frustration through me. Okay. We stared at one another. Neither of us was willing to admit we'd been bluffing. Mine for the sake of Tyler's well-being, and his for the sake of his giant ego. Unease rattled in my chest. I didn't think I was getting out of this. If I do this, you'll keep it to yourself? I unbuckled my seatbelt, and his gaze tracked the movement. His jaw ticked in thought, but the tension in his shoulders told me this was the last thing on earth he wanted to do. Maybe he shouldn't underestimate his opponents then. His gaze came to me. One nod of his head and those butterflies in my stomach took flight. I told myself to get it over with, but the tingles of nervousness and expectation that vibrated under every inch of my skin slowed my movements. I rested my hand on the console, planning not to touch him anywhere I didn't need to, and leaned in. He watched me with an expression like he was in line at the DMV. 5 inches away. 4, 3. I jumped the gap. My lips touched his to "Snap Your Finger, Snap Your Neck" playing on the radio. Soft and warm, his scent was concentrated and mind-numbing. I hadn't even moved my lips, only pressed them to his, but a moan climbed up my throat. I kept it locked inside. I couldn't breathe. Every inch of my skin was on fire. Just like I'd done with Tyler, though nothing like it at all, I inhaled a breath of air from the slight part between his lips. 1 second, 2 seconds, 3. I stole his breath. Yet my head grew light as if he took mine. I could hear nothing but the drumming of my blood in my ears, feel nothing but the softness of his lips and the tingles beneath my skin. A heaviness settled between my legs. Then I did something I shouldn't have done. I couldn't resist. Couldn't even think about stopping myself. My lips closed around his top one for a wet, warm moment. It was merely a pull on one of his lips, a tiny taste of what it would be like to truly kiss him. I pulled away, fell into my seat, and stared forward. See? I breathed. Completely platonic. His gaze burned my cheek for too many seconds. Though he must have agreed, because he only put the car in drive and pulled away from the curb.
Chapter 13. I like to be myself. Misery loves company. Anthony Carallo. Nico. There were two rules I always followed. Never leave the house without my 45, and never put myself in a position I knew I couldn't get out of. I had more enemies than the President of the United States, and I'd only survived this long by following those two simple rules. I'd never been tempted to break them, up until I was locked in a car with Elena Abelli. Gas station fluorescent lights flickered and buzzed above my head. Mist fell from a dark, starless sky, each drop sizzling on my skin. I was fucking burning up. I took my suit jacket off and tossed it in the back seat, pulled on my tie, and leaned against the car door. I inhaled, smelling nothing but rain and gasoline, and listened to the tire noise from the expressway. I could have laughed, though I wasn't amused at all. The smallest sexual interaction I'd ever had with a woman had gotten to me so much, I had to pretend I needed gas just so I could get the fuck out of that car. Heat crawled beneath my skin, and I rolled up my long sleeves. Elena Abelli, pressing her lips to mine, was in breach of rule number two. I'd known it wasn't something I could handle, yet like an idiot, I'd let my dick guide me. It hadn't killed me, but fuck, it felt like it. I was more worked up than I'd ever been. I swore. Straight lust, in all its itchy, burning glory, rushed through my veins. I put a cigarette between my lips and slipped my hands into my pockets. I wasn't going to light it. If I did, I'd have to admit she unsettled me, and I refused to do that over a fucking grade school kiss. I leaned against the car for far longer than it took to fill up the $5 worth of tank space. I paid at the pump. Couldn't go in because I had a fucking hard-on. The mist began to cool me down, but before I knew it, I was sucked back. Her soft lips on mine, her shallow breath in my ears, the tiniest brush of her tongue, hot and wet, before she pulled away. Fuck me. Heat raced straight to my groin. I didn't know how I'd manage not to grab her nape, pull her closer, slide my tongue against hers, and taste the inside of her mouth. It hadn't felt like a want at the time. It felt like a need. And that realization gave me the strength to hold back, after the night before especially. I'd thought she was materialistic and shallow, yet she watched documentaries, read history, and was reserved. I wanted to know what she did during the day, and what kind of thoughts consumed such a pretty head. A car door shut behind me. I turned to see Elena looking at me over the top of the car. She wore a high ponytail I should have never wrapped around my fist. Now, I could never forget how silky it really was. She cocked her head toward the gas station. Bathroom. I nodded once, then gave her my back, because the last thing I needed right now was to watch her ass as she walked away. She was wearing leggings. Enough said. I'd underestimated her. I'd thought she would refuse to reenact the stage kiss, therefore giving me a leg to stand on by calling that platonic excuse bullshit. Truthfully, I didn't give a fuck if it had been. It pissed me off. I wanted to make her squirm after I'd spent the entire week trying to drive her half-naked body from my mind. Except she didn't squirm. She undid her seatbelt and laid one on me. She called it platonic, while I had been 1 second from losing my grasp on self-control and touching her everywhere she'd let me. Shit, was she irritating. A little nuisance that had wiggled beneath my skin. She was supposed to be wallpaper, but I couldn't stop my gaze from finding her whenever she was in the room. In the library the night before, she'd stared at me unashamedly, and fuck if it hadn't made me feel itchy as shit. When I couldn't take it any longer, I'd called her out on it, and she hadn't even said a word. She only continued to watch me with the softest brown eyes I'd ever seen, as pink tinted her cheeks. Never thought a blush could get me so hard. Watching her with Tyler made me wonder if he was the man she was in love with. She hadn't hesitated to kiss me to protect him. My teeth clenched. The ring on her finger was from a man. I'd bet money on it. Tyler? Or the man she'd run away to be with? Jesus, why did I care? I wasn't going to worship Elena with the rest of the male population of New York. I'd stand on the sidelines and watch the idiots pine for her attention. I ran a hand across my face, pulled the cigarette from my lips, and dropped it in my shirt pocket. As I twisted the cap on the gas tank, my attention coasted up to see Elena walking toward the car, her steps quick and her eyes toward the concrete. My gaze narrowed. I'd learned how to read body language over the years. It was good to know when someone was going to shoot at you in the middle of a meeting. And Elena's posture raised all my alarms, avoiding eye contact, tight shoulders. She was stressed. "Elena," I said, trying to get her to look at me. She didn't stop at my voice. She climbed in my Audi and slammed the door. My chest burned, and without realizing how I'd gotten there, I stood on her side of the car. "What happened?" I demanded as soon as I opened the door. She shook her head. "Nothing. Can we go?" Maybe I'd believe that if she wasn't such a fidgety mess. But nah, not even then. Everyone knew that when a woman said nothing, she was fucking lying. "Yeah." Her gaze shot to me, and now I had her. Now I could see the turmoil swimming in those eyes. "Yeah?" she whispered. "Yeah, after you tell me what the fuck happened." She sighed and rested her head against the seat. "Nothing. I just want to go home." I dropped to my haunches, grabbed her chin, and turned her face to mine. "I'm not leaving until you tell me what happened." Her teeth tugged at her bottom lip, and she averted her gaze. "I don't want you to make it a big deal."
"Won't."
"Depends."
"Promise you won't do anything."
"Promise." "Lie." Those soft brown eyes met mine, working their way into my chest.
"The cashier."
She swallowed.
"Well, he told me I had to buy something because I used the bathroom, and then I told him I didn't have any money on me, and..."
She hesitated. "Jesus, spit it the fuck out," I snapped. Anger crept beneath my skin, slow but searing.
"Did he touch you?"
"No," she responded too quickly.
"It's not that big of a deal. He just threatened he would if I didn't leave."
A deathly stillness fell over me. "You're lying." She tossed her head, trying to shake off my hand. My grip tightened. "Where?" Her eyes came to mine with a spark.
"He smacked my ass and told me I could pay another way, all right?"
I had to take a second to swallow down the burning rage so I could form a coherent sentence. Could this woman go anywhere without men losing their goddamn minds? The irrational part of me grew agitated, pounding at my chest and shaking the bars of its cage. I ran my thumb down the indentation in her chin. "Which hand did he use?" Her gaze widened.
"No," she breathed. "You promised."
Her voice was distorted by the rage rushing through me, drumming in my ears. Red crept into my vision until she was covered in it. I closed my eyes, took a deep breath of gasoline fumes, and then stood.
"No, don't. Please, please don't, Nicholas," she pleaded.
"I'm just going to talk to him."
"No, you aren't."
I slammed her door. A frustrated noise came from inside. One lone black man was at the pump, filling up his old beater. A gas can sat on the oil-stained concrete, the one I had watched him fill while Elena was inside getting fucking groped. I grabbed the container and headed toward the station doors.
"What the fuck you think you're doing, man?"
"Some friendly advice," I said, without turning around. "Might get the fuck out of here if I were you." It took him 2 seconds to put it together.
"Aw, hell no,"
I heard from behind me. A door slammed shut, and a car drove off. The P on the Pronto sign flickered in and out. A bell chimed as I entered the harshly lit gas station with dirty, peeling laminate. The cashier stood behind the counter, reading a magazine. He looked to be in his 40s, with a balding head. His red, starched t-shirt said David in yellow.
"You the only one here tonight?"
The clerk flicked a gaze up, the end of a pen bit between his teeth. He pulled it out before saying in a heavy Long Island accent,
"Yeah. What's it to you?"
I ignored the question and looked around the dump. Nice place you got here. You own it? The clerk glanced at the gas can in my hand. Yeah. Must be your livelihood, I imagine. His expression turned stiff. I don't know what you want, but I'm not interested. Can't afford new floors, nor to replace your sign out front. I'm sure all income is going straight home. Wife, kids, maybe. I undid the cap and then sloshed some gasoline on the dirty laminate. The clerk dropped his pen, taking a step back. What the fuck are you doing? The girl that just came in here? I gave my head a shake. Wrong girl, David. Gas splashed a shelf of postcards. I'm calling the cops. The clerk's voice shook. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed he didn't reach for the phone. I glanced at the man to see he was focused on my forearm, on the ace of spades tattooed on the inside. An amused breath escaped me. I swear, this lack of anonymity ruins all my fucking fun. Should have never gotten the tat. I didn't know, the clerk blurted. I didn't fucking know who she was. I wanted your hand, I said, walking down aisles, sloshing gasoline on shelves, cooler doors, the rack of porn mags. But that's a fucking mess, really. Don't have the right knife on me to do a good job. The clerk stood, frozen and sweating. You got insurance, David? He swallowed. Of course. The smell of gasoline fumes consumed the gas station. I tossed the now empty can on the floor and grabbed a Zippo lighter off a shelf. Ironically enough, one with the ace of spades on the sides. I thought for a moment about the location and class of the joint. Hartford? Yeah. I placed a cigarette between my lips, a dark smile pulling on the corners. The correct answer is you had insurance. Wait, he pleaded. Fuck, I'm sorry. Let me apologize. His words became white noise in my head, a gurgling, annoying sound. Standing in front of the glass doors, I lit the cigarette between my lips. A cherry glowed at the end, and nicotine flowed through my blood. With the lazy, autocratic stare I was known for, I told the wild-eyed, frozen clerk, if you got a back door, you better find it. A breath of smoke from my lips, and the clerk was gone, slipping on gasoline all the way to the back room. Before he reached it, I flicked my cigarette to the laminate, silently hoping David wasn't quicker than he looked. The bell dinged above my head as the old glass doors shut behind me. I slipped my hands into my pockets. Cool mist hit my face while the heat of a fire brushed my back. The old Pronto lit up like a fucking Christmas tree.
Chapter 14. Heard melodies are sweet, but those unheard are sweeter. John Keats. Elena.
Papa, I'd appreciate it if next time you would send anyone at all, but Nicholas to pick me up.
I stood in my papa's office doorway, my duffel bag hanging from my shoulder. As soon as Nicholas had pulled into the driveway and I'd seen my father was home, I'd hopped out of the car and came straight here. I had already been humiliated enough by the incident. I wasn't a girl who wanted to be saved or avenged. I just wanted to forget about it and put it behind me. But I couldn't do that, because Nicholas had burned the entire gas station down. There would always be charred remains and possibly a body reminding me. I'd never seen the cashier come out. Sure, he was a disgusting creep, but did he deserve to burn to death? My throat tightened. Papa set his pen down and gave me his "I'm listening" expression for the first time in a long time.
And why is that?
I crossed my arms, saying simply, "He's psychotic, Papa." At that moment, my back tingled in awareness, and my father's gaze coasted above my head. Apparently, Nicholas now came in and out of my house like he owned it. I hadn't said a word to him the rest of the drive home, though he'd hardly tried to instigate a conversation. Between him threatening me about Tyler, kind of kissing him, and watching the gas station light up in my side view mirror as we drove away, I was more frustrated than I'd ever been. That kiss had made me hotter for more than I'd ever felt before, and he hadn't even touched me. I hated how it made me feel. How it made me realize that the man whose life I'd ruined was based on a meaningless, even passionless motivation. Papa's brows rose when he took in my words, and then, surprisingly, he laughed.
Well, Ace, I've never heard such an accusation from my daughter. What do you have to say about it?
Nicolas stood so close, my ponytail brushed his chest. He had no boundaries, I noticed with annoyance, while at the same time I tried to ignore the heady pull to step backward until my back touched his front.
The cashier groped her, he said indifferently. So I burned down his place of business, and maybe him.
Papa's gaze hardened.
Who's stupid enough to touch my daughter?
Oscar Perez. And every time you invite him over.
And nobody now. If he even made it out.
Good, Papa snapped. Let's hope he didn't.
I didn't know why I had even tried.
Nico, we need to talk if you have some time. Elena, go check on Benito in the kitchen and make sure he's still alive.
My eyes widened. What?
He was shot tonight. Though maybe you aren't so concerned about that as you are about who drives you home.
I frowned. Turning around, I was frustrated enough with his barb that I forgot Nicolas stood so close. I bumped into him and then braced my hand on his stomach to steady myself. Heat burned through his white dress shirt and into my palm. God, he was a furnace. My fingers unwillingly curled into the muscle before I stepped back.
I'm convinced they should call you the clumsy Abeli instead, he said, annoyance coating his tone.
My gaze sparked. Cute. A hint of a humoring smile pulled on his lips, but he only grabbed my wrist, pulled me impolitely out of his way, and then shut my papa's office door behind him. I shook off the tingling warmth left behind from his grip and walked down the hall toward the kitchen. It didn't take long to realize that Benito was going to live. Pushing the swinging door open, I stopped in my tracks, a blank gaze taking in the horror show. Benito leaned against the counter with a hand towel pressed to his shoulder, while Gabriella, who wasn't even supposed to be here this late, kissed a corner of his lips, cooing something too low to hear. I imagined something like, "Poor baby." It was a little cringeworthy, but that wasn't the reason I turned around and headed back to my room. That's because her hand was in his pants. My cousin was getting a hand job in the kitchen. And while that was seriously unsanitary, I didn't have the energy to tell them to get a room. Later, I lay in my bed staring at the ceiling, at the lone glowing star left from years before. Because every time I closed my eyes, all I saw was fire reflected in an amber gaze. Every time I closed my eyes, all I felt was the wrong man's lips against mine.
I told you we didn't have to go, Benito.
I know. And I said it isn't a big deal, Elena.
I sighed and fell back in my seat. I'd been excited about the pool party, but after the night before, I wasn't confident it was a good idea to spend any more time around Tyler. Especially now that I'd seen how easy it was for Nicolas Russo to destroy a man's life in 5 minutes flat.